There we go. The John Curley Sherry-Ellica Show. Diving into the news. Here we go.
She got off the phone with Charlie. She said, they loved it, Dad.
Said, that's all that matters. The couple loved it. What now?
You know, sometimes for somebody who hasn't had kids, sometimes you come quickly to the defense of children.
Well, I think, I mean, you got to give her some credit. She's 20 years old. It's really hard to get up in front of a group of people and everybody's looking at you and all of that. And she relied on you to give her, I mean, she did her homework, right? She went to an expert to help her. And I thought she did great.
Oh, wow. Well, okay. Well, I stand corrected. You're
And I'm sure she was great in Annie, too. So there.
That a whole nother story. I'm going to find video of that. All right, let's see. Moms in Washington struggling to get baby formula. This is, man, I'll tell you something. If you had a little kiddo and you're, like, watering down more of that formula, you can't find it, you go into the stores, you're rushing around trying to get it. I'm sure the city's got some sort of black market for it or something. But King 5 spoke to some moms.
I have had to now reach out to friends outside of the state to have it shipped to me, which has been really stressful because if the package gets lost and we're running low, we have to put her on something else. And then with the fact that she's sensitive, she just gets so sick.
There was a couple weeks back where we had no formula left and we were on our last can. We've had to switch his formula 3 different times because of the shortage.
Yeah, it must be scary. You start to look in the cabin, you're down to the scraping through the last little bits of those formula, because those kids can go through pretty quickly, like 2 or 3 scoops at a time in each bottle, and then each can. I forget how much they used to hold, but man, that is added stress to being a young mom and a young dad, and then to have the kid and then not be able to know where the next can is coming from.
And they say that you can't change the formula. Like, I didn't know that. And it's supposed to be kind of dangerous to switch them around and also to water it down. These kids get 100% of their nutrition sometimes from that formula. So watering it down isn't a great idea. And these are really little babies, right?
I mean,
Yeah. I mean, it's got to be terrifying for young parents.
That's why they call it infant formula. We had the system. That was such a great system because we didn't want to have to really wake up. Charlie would sleep between us when she's a little teeny tiny kid. That's why she's probably bad at those speeches. And so we'd have a big thermos of water. It was at the perfect temperature. And we would preload these bottles with 2 scoops. And then without even really thinking, the kid's just so sleepy. And you'd put the hot water into the bottle. And then you'd put the top onto the nipple thing on there. And then you'd shake it up. And then, boop, plop it right in her mouth in between the two of us. And then, oh, my. So it was because they're waking up every 2 hours, depending on the size of their stomach. And I remember one night, I pour the water into the container. Into the bottle. I was like, okay, good. And I put the lid with a nibble thing on there, but I forget to screw it shut, and I go to shake it up, and I just shake it, and the top flies off, and the crap goes everywhere. Here's why we have the problem. There's about 4 manufacturers. The Trump administration slapped a tariff on Canadian formula that could have come in. We could have. FDA officials are allowed to go to Canada if you wanted to inspect the manufacturers up there, but they made it very, very hard. So we have a sweetheart deal with these 4 manufacturers because they're in bed with the government, because most of the stuff that's purchased is purchased by the government. The reason they fight so hard for these contracts, and they discount the can to the government, which is buying about 80%, 75 or 70% of all of this formula is purchased by the government through WIC. And the reason they want to do this is because then it's available on the shelves and it gets a bit greater shelf space, because once they sort of get the WIC contract and so many people get formula from WIC, that it's in the supermarket, it's right up front and there's a lot of it. So it's very hard if you're a young competitor to come in and try to create baby formula, because you can't possibly discount it to the discount that these major manufacturers are doing, because they are in such a close sweetheart in bed deal with the government. So that's why you have only these 3 major manufacturers or 4 major manufacturers of this, and that's why you have the shortage that we have right now. So if you like government involved, This is what you get. If you want him involved with Medicare, Medicaid, you want to do single payer, you will have less competition. It's harder to get started when three manufacturers produce just for the one giant consumer, which is the government, which gives away so much of it for free.
Well, Abbott, the one that's in question, has come up with a consent decree with the FDA. So they're going to go in, inspect, and then start production. But it's going to take two weeks to restart, another 6 to 8 weeks to get the products back on the shelves. And they say the shortage will not be resolved until the end of the year.
Oh, golly. I saw that the Surgeon General suggested that you go to your pediatrician and ask for free samples.
Well, that's not going to last very long. I mean, how many free samples could they possibly have? And they have so many patients. I mean, they're going to start importing now from different countries. But this, you know, hopefully they will be able to make production a little bit faster than that. But the end of the year, I mean, if you're a young mom, can you imagine hearing that news? That you might have to be.
Yeah.
One lady said she called 16 stores every day. She would wake up and call every store to see if they got their shipment in.
Oh, my. The Canadian or the producer in the UK is flying air shipping. A whole bunch of airplanes are coming in with cases and cases, pallets and pallets of this formula into the United States to do what they can. But certainly when they had the original problem in October, didn't they see this was going to be a problem? And wouldn't they have gotten on this sooner? The guy in charge of the FDA has got kind of a checkered past. He was also being blamed by Bernie Sanders, getting both whacked from left and right for what was happening during the whole opiate problem. Then he left, went away, made a bunch of money. Silicon Valley came back again, got rehired. He was part of the Obama administration. Now he's back in. He barely got approved as the FDA head. I think he passed 48 votes against him or something of what it was, but he's back in there again. So you always failing up with a job like that. When it comes to gas, what are you supposed to do? How about cutting the gas tax?
I'm once again calling for a rebate on the gas tax through the end of the year.
This is State Senator John Brock.
To give working families around the state some relief in response to the huge increases in gas prices we've seen over the last year, and in particular in the last month, and broadly the pressures they're feeling from inflation on all kinds of things.
So Maryland and Georgia have done this. I think they only did it for like about 30 days or something. Price came way down in Maryland, Georgia as well. But then they said, oh, the problem is people are driving more because they don't have the price indicator that they shouldn't drive because the price has come down. So what's happening is supply is or demand is meeting the supply because people don't have to pay as much for it. So now they're driving more. That's part of the normal you know, occasion when you start to mess around with these things. Price did come down almost 30 or 40 cents in Maryland, and I think about the same in Georgia. Again, temporary. They put it in place only temporarily. So what do you think will happen? This is not the first time apparently that they've done this tax.
We called for it during session, of course. That would have been the right time to do it. I called for it last time. We had a revenue report, and we had one Friday, and it showed once again that revenues continue to come in above the projection, so we have some additional money we could afford to do this. It's not a situation where we're going to shortchange transportation funding or shortchange any services paid for by the operating budget. We have extra funds that we could divert to cover this rebate through the end of the year. I think it's the right thing to do for the people around the state of Washington. They're having, frankly, a tough time.
Yeah. One last little cut from him. He says the lack of motivation from Democrats is because of climate change.
I certainly think there's some of this. It's kind of ideological. We don't like, you know, gas, you know, combustion driven engines. We want to force that. So I think that's it with some folks. And I think they don't realize that. And I'm not opposed to making that transition over time, but we can't do it today. And people have to pay their grocery bill today. So let's make it a little easier for people in the near term and have a longer term plan to make that transition.
What's it, about $2,000 for the average American per year on the cost of gas going up, the additional cost?
Yeah, exactly. And he said that May revenue collection is up about $428 million from February. So that could allow for the tax to be suspended. And the state really wouldn't lose that much money. Other states are trying different things. In California, they're thinking about giving $400 rebates. In in Chicago, they want to maybe give out gas cards to people that aren't, you know, able to pay for to low-income families. And yeah, and Georgia, Maryland, Connecticut all did the gas suspension or the tax suspension. So how much, when's the last time you got gas, and how much did you pay? Do you remember?
You mean stuff in the, okay, oh, in the car gas? I think it's close to $5 in the Easton. I won't spend any money in King County. I push my car out of gas out of King County to spend money some other county. So I always fill up here. I don't know, 486 something or other. I don't know. And I put the cheapest stuff in there. 87's the cheapest. I'm like, do you have like something that mixes in with like water? Like how about 63? You got a premium 63? Just some real cheap stuff. So I 486, something like that. Yes.
Okay. I think I paid $519. The last time, I got gas.
Now, yeah. Would you drive to Maryland in order to take advantage of the cheaper stuff?
No.
No, you wouldn't do that. Because they say a lot of people in Virginia, they're driving to Maryland to fill up and get gas there.
Yeah, I mean, my parents live in Maryland, so I'm there every week. So I guess I could. I really haven't seen that much of a difference, to tell you the truth.
Well, it has dropped, so you might, you know, for you, what is a couple of nickels, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Huh? Really, when I send the fleet out to get gassed up with the help,
right. I'm still trying
to
figure out.
Not to worry.
I kept telling you, I got to try to make my own gas, and everyone's like, I think that's a bad. Jacob's like, I think that's a bad idea. John Durham has finally got a chance to go to trial. The hard part is going to try to find a jury. I know when they were asking the jury, this is for the case. Here's the case that GPS, Fusion GPS, and Kui Perkins, and the Democratic National Committee, and Hillary Clinton all got together and said, hey, let's accuse Donald Trump of, in cahoots with the Russians. So then they hired this other guy that came up with the Steele dossier, and this guy named Michael Sussman went to the FBI and said, listen, I'm just a regular American citizen. I'm just doing this because I'm concerned. I think there's something going on with Donald Trump and the Russians. I've got some evidence. I'm just a regular citizen. I'm not working for anybody. Because then the FBI said, are you working for anybody? No, I'm just a citizen. Well, there, so you can't lie to the FBI. It is the case that John Durham has to prove Michael Sussman lied to the FBI. It's the beginning of the charges. They think he's going to be able to say, see, this is a crime. You can't lie to the FBI. When they asked you, are you working for somebody? He said, no, I'm just somebody just, but you might want to take a look at this. And what you might not take a look at this and this and this and this. And the stuff he was telling them to look at was all crap. But what he was hoping to do was to get this stuff rolling. And they started this thing in 2016. And now, finally, it is going to trial today. Congressman Devin Nunes was asked.
Let's just take a step back. Why does this matter to the American people, right? We're 4 or 5 years after the fact that this all started. Well, this is a dark chapter of American history, for sure. But here, it's a slippery slope, right? In 15, 16, you have the Clinton campaign, DNC. They concoct this, working with DOJ, FBI, the Obama administration. But the media gives them a pass on it, and they were involved in it because they said, well, it's just Donald Trump. And, you know, he should never be elected president, so let's just go after him, right? And we knew that at the time, we had circumstantial evidence. They were trying to hide the Hillary Clinton, you know, servers that were destroyed and the emails. It was all part of a game. And then you go forward, Donald Trump's elected, and then they continue to spy on him. They waste $40 million on a phony Mueller investigation. As Cash and I and the Republicans in Congress led this effort with really hardly anyone in the news media, you know, Maria, you were one of the few that actually gave us time to actually get the facts out. Well, now where are we today? You had a Congress who Democrats did nothing. The media continued to cover up. Judges continued to cover this up. And what does this result in? It results in what you see today, which is now you have leaks from the Supreme Court of the United States. You have protests at the Supreme Court justices' homes. So it starts as dirty political tricks. 5 years later, ends up with really just the deterioration over time of every institution in this country. So what Durham has to do here, there's a big load that's on his shoulders that he's carrying, because these institutions have to be cleaned up, and Durham is the only guy in position to actually get that done.
Now, Durham is a government guy, but he's not exactly, as the Wall Street Journal says, playing on the home field, because when they went to interview the jury, are you political? Have you ever donated to another campaign? Did you vote for Donald Trump? No, absolutely not. I would never vote for him. So most of the people that were sitting in the jury are not Trump fans at all. They voted for Hillary. They liked Hillary. They know some of the names, but not all of the names. And even the judge herself said to the jury, listen, this is not about Donald Trump and not about Hillary Clinton. Yes, it is. Much in the opening sort of instructions. Sure it is. It's about the fact that this stuff was concocted, and then they tried to get it into the media, which they did, and then everybody took off with it, and then you had people saying, yeah, he's in cahoots with the Russians. And now they're trying to prove that the FBI knew that the Steele dossier wasn't true, but continued to sort of keep this thing going. So it'll be interesting to see if he's able to move this thing forward. If it just, the jury has, I think, 2 weeks on this one. Did Michael Sussman lie to the FBI and tell the FBI that he wasn't working for anyone else? And, you know, people going, well, that's really not any kind of a case. The people that are pushing Durham have now purchased a giant bit of advertising down at Times Square. They got, you know, the board that lights up down there?
Mm-hmm. Sherry,
you'd buy. Yeah, the guy has bought this thing, and, you know, he's flashing Durham and learn more about Durham and hashtag this and trying to get somebody to notice it and talk about it. So,
yeah,
there we are.
Yeah. Jury is pretty well slanted based on what they've been able to report in terms of them saying they, some of them had absolute disdain for Donald Trump. So it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Right. And they say, listen, just okay, you can hate the guy for all reasons you want to. The question is, did this guy break this law? That's what you're looking at.
Right.
Now, whether
did he have
able
a
to sort of.
Yeah. Did he have anything to do with Hillary Clinton when he went to say that he had that Trump had a back channel to Putin? And yeah, I mean, I don't know.
Well, we'll see. Here we go, Keel Mortgage. That's right, Laura Keel and everybody at Keel Mortgage is looking forward to hearing from you regarding a mortgage. Refinance that house of yours. But now, on 888-778-KIEL. A little later on the show, I'll play a cut just to prove that apparently being a show-off, standing up in front of a crowd, is not a genetic trait that's passed on from father to daughter.
Oh. Okay.
What?
I think she did great.
I told her, don't drink before you give those speeches.
Well, you don't have any evidence that she did. She didn't seem like she was drinking.
I got a photo. I follow her on Instagram.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I know, Mickey. We'll get to you later. All righty. Let's see. Poor Mickey. So defenseless back there, checking traffic or doing these cuts on her. So Elon Musk says, you know what? I got a problem here. I know I said $44 billion, but I need to find out how many of your actual Twitter people are real. Twitter has come back, said, oh, the president said, oh, no, about 5%. Okay, prove it. So there's a bunch of people that are now jumping all over Elon and what he's talking about, saying, well, what's he do? Was this all just fake stuff? Was he trying to do this? And he's basically pointing out that, no, listen, I'll make you the offer. I told you $44 billion. I'm going to do an inspection. Very similar. You put an offer down on a house that's contingent upon a home inspection. You can go in there and all of a sudden just find something. I know friends of mine are like, yeah, I got to get out of that offer. So they go in with a house inspector. What? We didn't realize all the wiring was beige color, you know, or whatever it is they have a problem with. I'm out of here. Yeah. So he could say that he says to Twitter, you know, just tell
us. I guess right now I'm sort of debating the number of bots on Twitter.
God, this guy gets a lot of laughs, doesn't he?
Yeah, I know. He's at like a technology conference, I think. So it's nerd heavy. So he's a big superstar.
On Twitter.
By the way, Andrew, find a bunch of just people just really cracking up.
Oh, like laughter?
Yeah, get that ready for a drop.
Yeah, okay. That kind of cracking up.
Yeah, cracking up.
No, we want egg sounds, Andrew. Yeah, cracking of eggs.
She whiz, Andrew. She whiz. I'm giving you a... like that kind of laughter. All right, here we go. For more from Elon Musk in his comedy.
I guess right now I'm sort of debating the number of bots on Twitter. With Parah on Twitter. Currently, what I'm being told is that there's just no way to know the number of bots. It's like,
got it. Got some left right there. Just enter whenever.
Like as unknowable as the human soul, basically.
So,
we have no idea.
Okay, Andrew, less is more. Less is more. Andrew, you still there? Less is more. But just. Sprinkle it in.
I don't know, witchcraft and alchemy is needed to determine these for this spot percentage. I said, like, why not try calling people, but I haven't got a response. You know, like, if you try calling people or something, you know, like maybe try
the
that.
Answer. It's not a bot.
No. I don't know, but I think like that would be one of the things to do to say, like, have you tried calling them, as opposed to like trying to read the tea leaves here. That's like impossible. You know, obviously you can have an account that looks exactly like a human.
Now I can't tell what's real, what's fake for me.
Or is being operated where one person is operating 1,000 accounts or something. But that person can only buy one toaster. They're not going to buy 1,000 toasters. So you care about like number of unique, real people.
Here's what people think he's doing. He's trying to do the, okay, and instead of 44 billion, how many people you really have? Now you tell me how many people you really have. The president of Twitter has gotten back to him, or CEO, and said, I can't really tell you because we're not allowed to give you that information. Senator Elon Musk just sent back one message on his Twitter account, which was basically the poopy emoji. So he's concerned, and people are like, oh, it's him trying to get out of the offer now. He talks about why he's so political.
The reality is Twitter at this point, you know, has a very far left bias. And I would class myself as a moderate, and you know, neither Republican nor Democrat. And in fact, I have voted overwhelmingly for Democrats historically, overwhelmingly. Like I'm not sure, I might never have voted for a Republican, just to be clear.
Right.
Now this election, I will.
I mean.
Now that's a legitimate laugh.
That's
on that
real.
One. That was real. Okay. He also talked about the recent Project Veritas goes behind the scenes with all the shaky hidden camera stuff. And when a Twitter employee was telling Project Veritas,
Twitter does not want to face speech. We weren't really operating in a capitalist mode. We were very socialist.
Why does he always interview these people surreptitiously in a bowling alley or something? You can never hear anything.
It's always terrible.
It's always
audio.
The same, like clinking and clanking of stuff in the background.
We're all like communist ideologically.
So it's this guy that works at Twitter saying, "Yeah, we're basically all communists," and Elon Musk complaining about Twitter and. I think he's doing this as a negotiating tactic to find out how many are real because he wants to know how many customers do you have. I offer you $44 billion. If he walks away from the deal, he might still get stung for about $1 billion. They could still hit him up, right?
Yeah. It's $1 billion breakup fee. The only way he can get out of it is if there is a material adverse effect, that's what it's called, caused by the company. So in other words, they would have to do something to make the company less valuable. So he offered to pay $54.20 a share. Right now it's trading at $38.32.
Yeah, that poison pill thing that they do to try to make the value go down or something. He also has to be able to, Twitter can say, hey, we filed with the SEC. They have all of our numbers. They know what our numbers are. We weren't faking any of those things. You really get in trouble if you mess those things up. But I don't know, again, how many are real? That is always the question. Elon Musk went on talking about Joe Biden.
It's hard to tell what Biden's doing, to be totally frank.
All right, legitimate. Okay, Andrew, what was that? Just leave it as it is. Here we go.
Yeah. Like, I feel like
it's weekend at Bernie's.
The real president is whoever controls the.
Isn't that funny? The moderator tries to throw the joke in, and he doesn't get anything. But only Elon gets the laughs.
You know, It's like the path to power is the path to the teleprompter, you know, like what, because that then he just reads the teleprompter. So, you know, I do feel like if somebody would accidentally lean on the teleprompter, it's going to be like Anchorman. It's going to be like QQQASDF123, you know, type of thing.
Aren't those the name of his kids? Andrew, stop.
Can he do that the whole show?
Yeah.
Dogs and laughing in the background for four whole hours.
Right. Oh, God.
Just don't play me again.
No. You know what, Mickey?
What?
For you, no more you doing that weird, like... I read a really wild piece. Soon as Joe Biden got into office, and when he was 28 years old, immediately he was talking about how he's going to be the greatest president in the United States. As soon as he turns 35 or whatever he had to be, 35, he said at that point he's going to start running. He's going to be a great president. His whole family's talking about how great he's going to be. He's always been presidential material. That was he got in. He's in there, 28-year-old, youngest senator, gets in, took him a while. He had to wait or something a year in order to take office because he was so young. And he had his sights set on being president in the United States from the time he raised that hand and swore in as a senator. He's always wanted to be president. And people said, man, he is so aggressive for a young guy. And they're like, oh, he's going places.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, and he's been working at it for, 50-some years now?
Did he run four times or something like that? Anyway, he will. He is going places. He's going down in the history books. He is certainly going down in the history books. Oh, yeah, here we go. You're right to us. That's good for you. Right to us at MyNorthWest.com. Text as well. Come on in. 1-888-973-4476. It is the State Roofing text line. Did we have any trouble with the text line yesterday, Jacob? Everything went okay?
Yeah, it's just, it's weird for me, but only me.
Only you, okay. So we just keep it only weird for you then, I think we're okay.
Okay.
I like writing stuff and giving ideas to people. I always find it weird when they like, they're not going to do that. Like, well, I take it really personally. Don't call me and ask me to help you with something. My daughter called and said, Dad, I have to give a speech. And I said, oh, good. She goes, it's a toast at this wedding for these people that I know that I really do like. I like them a lot. I'm going to their wedding. I said, oh, great. When is it? It's like in 3 hours. I was like, okay. So I then really barely, I don't know anybody there. I don't know the bride or the groom, nothing. But I know the guy is 100% Irish from Ireland. I'm like, okay, I'm going to do a thing off of an Irishman walks into a bar. I'll start with that sort of thing. So I really spend a lot of time. I write it all out. I send it to Chuck. She sends it back with extra added stuff. I try to be nice. I'm like, no, just stick to what it is. When you get close to it, you really want to deliver the bup, 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 bup. You got to deliver the bang, 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 bang. You lift up the glass. You get the toast. It's an Irish toast. Bang, bang, bang. It's all about leading up to it. Don't use too many words. She's like, I got it. I go, so just stick what I wrote. Just stay with what I got. That'll work. And then she sent it to me. This is her speech. This is her toast. Oh my gosh.
In the service industry world, we learn very quickly about what makes our coworkers tick. For example, I know that Jocelyn hates when drunk girls don't order fast enough, guys that tip like and when people get in her way. I know also that Jocelyn loves Taco Bell, traveling, the Kardashians.
I told her to cut all that. I said, just do the three. That's all you need. You don't need to keep going. Anyway.
Fireball and Irish guys.
All right, she added that. She gave applause. All right, I'll give her that. Okay.
Yes, sir.
So that's my daughter. She's 20 years old, working as a bartender in Austin. She's all these people are all bartender people.
I don't know how many of you remember the Christmas. I'll wait.
I'll wait.
Scolding
Check it out. Woo! All right.
I don't know how many of y'all remember the Christmas party, but.
Yeah, Charlie.
Listen, one hell of a party, huh? How about that?
But, as luck would have it, an Irishman walked into the bar. And although this sounds like the beginning of a silly Irish joke, it's actually the beginning of a beautiful love story. Drunk on Christmas spirit, I decided to set my good friend Jocelyn up with the one Irish man I knew. So, as any good friend would do, I grabbed her hand and marched her towards Quaylon.
Quaylon? Talk to your doctor about Quaylon.
I ordered the Quaylon.
What? Yeah, Quaylon. Watery eyes, runny nose, and a chance of Quaylon. Okay, hang on.
Meet Quaylon. Quaylon, this is Jocelyn. And I returned.
No, I said cut all that. I said, don't mention you drink it at the party. But anyway, go on.
Turned with two shots of whiskey. Right. And that's about all I remember from the Christmas.
Was it Tolbert?
Of course it was Tolbert.
Of course.
That's about all I remember. After that, it was kind of just, you know. Here's to drunk girl.
That's okay. I said, you don't need that, Chuck, right? Here's the big punch. And I said, you pick up the glass. You got to do it like this. You know, bang a bang a bang a bang. It's like an Irish thing. Irish. And here's.
Here's to drunk girls.
Drunk girls.
That order faster. Jerky guys that learn to tip.
Learn to tip.
And to that one Irish man that walked into the bar and stole my friend's heart away.
Cheers. That's right.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
That's great.
Yeah, I give her a lot of credit. Big, big crowd, you know. Yeah. Now that I hear it, I do like it.
Okay. I mean, she used most of everything you gave her. She had to make it her own, though, right? She had to add a few things in there, like the
unnecessary
and things like that.
Yeah, but you don't have to make it your own.
Well, sure you do. She didn't want it to sound like she was Joe Biden plagiarizing. She wanted it to sound like, you know, she was. It was her speech.
How about a little something at the end? My dad wrote that, or a little something. Little comeback. Little thanks. Tip of the hat to the author.
So that was your daughter.
Yeah, it's Charlie.
And she's in Austin, yeah. Huh?
She moved to Austin. It's so funny. She and her boyfriend at the time are sitting out here in the deck of this. The cabin, and Charlie said to the computer Siri, where should we move to? And a lot of people are moving to Austin. Mm-hmm. So she turned to her boyfriend and goes, let's move to Austin. And that's how they made the decision to move to Austin.
That's my hometown.
Is that right?
Yeah.
She's off right off of Rainy Street. Can you imagine living on Rainy Street where all those bars are?
Yeah, I know exactly where that's at. As a matter of fact, they tore down a huge funeral home that my family used to use and built condos.
What do you mean your family used to use? Were they like a poor genetic? used
black widows
weekly?
We had a family funeral home. You know, if somebody died, that's where the funeral would happen.
How big was the family genetically? How disposed were they to dying? I mean, what do you mean they used to use?
Yeah, like sound like a caterer. 50. We have 50 first cousins. Let's just put it that way.
They're dropping like flies.
Yep. All right.
All right. Okay. Who's driving?
Anyway.